apparently when Matt sleeps in the closet, his legs have to be
up in the air.
Yeah. And he's folded over like a lawn chair.
The Scarab Swarmcast is recorded, mixed, and produced at Lord Wellington's Beef Trapeze in Columbia, South Carolina. Mostly. Scarab is the South Carolina area role players and board gamers convention held annually in Columbia, South Carolina on MLK weekend for 4 days. The Scarab Swarmcast podcast is hosted by and features many of the Scarab staff and guests. Views and opinions expressed on this show usually come from a random D20 chart or an FAQ found on the web somewhere, and usually don't reflect anything any sane person would or should think. Ah! I'm Toast, your kobold announcer. And now, here's our host, John Meadows!
Hello, folks. John here. Thanks, Toast, for that intro. I'm just kidding. That wasn't really Toast. That was obviously pre-recorded, because Toast, well, he's taken some time off this month to go to KoboldCon, whatever and wherever that is. He said he would try to report in, send some pics, or anything. We'll see how that pans out. The note he left said something about kobolds not having the greatest of Wi-Fi? So, since he's off at a convention, why not talk about some conventions ourselves? So, I got a treat for you. First up, Dale Collins and Matt Pakowski are going to talk about their experience at PaizoCon. After that, you get to hear Ruby, Calvin Korn, and myself talk about our Origins Game Fair experience. As we drive back from Origins. So you have to excuse the sound quality, as there are cars passing by us at speeds of 60 miles per hour or more. Probably the more part because Calvin was driving. So without further ado, let's go and hear about PaizoCon with Dell and Matt. You're listening to the Scarab Swarmcast around May 27th through 30th of 2016. If you were in the Seattle, Washington area, you may have been to something called PaizoCon. I know two people in particular who went to PaizoCon. They're at the table with me right now. Dell Collins and Matt Pakowski. How you doing, guys?
Doing just fine.
Pretty good.
Woohoo! You've recovered. It's been a few weeks since PaizoCon. Have you guys recovered?
The jet lag is gone. Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
So that's a big trek for you guys, going all the way from Columbia, South Carolina, more or less, to Seattle.
Yeah, once you get past, you know, the body cavity searches, TSA, the airlines.
Yeah, people drop, for some reason, you're finding out your 1.5-year-old son redropped your Leatherman back in your backpack at Charlotte. You know, that's always fun.
Getting up close and personal with the bodily functions of 17 people sitting next to you on an airplane.
Yeah.
Well, that's no different than going to a con itself.
So yeah. Kind of the same, yeah. It was really,
we have people checking people's body cavity. No, we don't.
No.
You know, the airline ride was kind of like...
It was like being at a con.
The truck ride to Gen Con wasn't a lot different. Less humor.
Yeah, there was a lot less humor. There wasn't a movie or anything like that, so yeah.
So why did you guys... Why did the two of you in particular go to PaizoCon of all conventions?
Man, because we freaking had to, of all things.
we were invitingly, lovingly invited.
So as...
To learn stuff.
As regional venture captain and as venture captain, we are obligated to maintain those titles. We have to either attend PaizoCon or Gen Con.
And or go to London. We could go to London, to the UK.
London, yeah. UK, right. So this year we decided to try out PaizoCon, and it worked out great. I think it was, for me, it was a 1,000% improvement over Gen Con, over the Paizo experience at Gen Con. So yeah, I really enjoyed Paizo.
It was a really big change for me because I was able to enjoy every aspect of the con. I didn't go and specifically volunteer. They didn't seem to have a real severe lack of volunteers, so I didn't even volunteer any time. I know that might have been kind of a no-no, but I got to attend all the panels, and I got to listen to all the people talk about all the products that are coming out, and I got to play a bunch of games and meet a lot of people too. So it was a great experience just because of that. I had zero stress going in.
So you guys, instead of your normal con experience,
event. You actually got to go more as a con goer this one.
Yeah. I didn't run a single game.
I ran one. Only at the end it was like outside all the sessions just for fun, just to round out some stuff.
Sat on a bunch of panels, sat in on a bunch of panels, and just got to hang out with the Paizo people and in their hometown on their home turf. Really, really laid back, you know. Which the difference is, and I don't know if the Paizo people would agree or not, but I like to think they would based on the ones that we talked to, that Paizo at PaizoCon or Paizo staff at PaizoCon are significantly more laid back. They're significantly less rushed than they are at Gen Con. At Gen Con, I'm sure the demands upon their time are like ours at Scarab. You know, when I'm at Scarab,
we're on call
I am on call 100% of the time. Yeah. Have 5,000 people pulling me 5,000 different ways, and I'm sure it's a lot like that for them too. Yeah,
I didn't get the impression that I would get at Gen Con and any larger events that we've gone to as Scarab staff that we've reported back on, that it was hectic. It looked like that staff was rushed, or they didn't get stuff done because they didn't have time, or they couldn't pay enough attention to this person because they didn't have the time or the level of attention. It seemed like this was one of those ones where people could get sat down, get instructed upon something, learn how to play some different games, and really get to know the people, sit down and really enjoy the fact that we all really like Pathfinder, and get to know them on a level that you wouldn't have otherwise because of the stress level being so low.
Yeah, and it's different too. One of the other things too that's really different about PaizoCon for me was in meeting all the variety of venture captains and venture officers that we meet at Gen Con want to come up and talk about your area or their area or compare areas. One of the really cool things for me at PaizoCon was getting to meet my venture officers who report to me within the Southeast region. It was great getting to just have some one-on-one time with them.
The face-to-face stuff
was awesome. I mean, and then getting to meet with the other regional venture coordinators, meeting with Tanya. And then there's that aspect of in gaming of learning from someone, learning the craft of gaming and being a game master from someone. I've really, in my lifetime of gaming, I've met several people. Like, I've met Gary Gygax and other people. And when you meet someone like that and get their point of view on the game, it really can change your point of view or your aspect on the game. And so having the opportunity to do that with Paizo staff was really cool. It really did have an impact on, I never thought of this that way, or I really like the way they run it, or wow, now I really understand the interpretation of that rule. So for me, it was just, again, an excellent event.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the FaceTime of being able to think of people just not as avatars on the forums, but to actually see them as faces. And in the respect of some people, I actually found out that they were either, their names could have been male or female, and finding out, that's a guy, or oh, that's a girl, or whatever. But that FaceTime was a big thing. I did a lot of looking at people's badges just to try to recognize and try to put name to face, and be like, and then so that way next time I see him on the forums, I'm like, huh, I remember that guy. He was actually really cool, but it seems his opinion is kind of varied here on the forums. Oh well. Yeah. But the FaceTime was really a big thing too.
And on the badge, they had the avatar name, but they didn't have the avatar picture.
Right.
So it helped to see
a little bit. Yeah.
So it had your name, but then on the bottom corner of it had the avatar name too.
Your lead avatar name or whatever.
Your primary name. Yeah. So
interesting.
so made a difference when you're talking to someone.
You can glance down and then you suddenly
see their avatar name and you're like, you're that guy. You totally messed me up on the forums or called me a bad name or I'm gonna get you. You know, it's like so you're having like a normal conversation with them and then you realize, oh, I know you. You're that controversial guy.
You're the guy that posts constantly and always gets on everybody's case. Or you're the guys that always the person that always helps. Or you're the person that does all the artwork. There's a bunch of people that will post, you know, hints on how to print up stuff and make cooler maps or things like that. And so it's like I said, and everyone in the GMs that I ran under, I played under, all had a different style than I've seen before too. So it was cool to see all that kind of stuff and then work it into whatever I've got going with GMing.
And I know I'm this way too. We're so used to seeing a lot of the same GMs
over and over.
So we kind of know what different, so not just PFS, but other GMs, their styles are. So that's cool. You got to see from all over.
You had one in particular. I remember
I got to play. I got to John Compton GM'd for me first time in 7 years. So wow. That was cool. Yeah. So I've GM'd for him a couple times, but that was the first time I'd ever gotten to have him as a GM for me. And it was awesome. I got to have Linda GM for me. And so that was awesome. You know, so it was really cool to have some of the Paizo staff that I've met and talked to all these times, or I've GM'd for them. Uh-huh. And so that was neat too.
And I always picture Linda and John, some of the bigger and old experienced GMs with like the giant thought cloud with all of the Paizo plot, all of the Pathfinder plot just wheeling around in their heads all the time. And they're just kind of walking around with that big head. I said, one of the things that you said that struck kind of a memory was the guy that came away with the campaign coin that had a particular way of explaining things to people.
Oh,
As far as how he would explain, well, this is this reason, this for a reason. He would just be
someone
like,
you were playing a game and someone did a detect magic. And when they did a detect magic, he said, well, it's, you think it's this, you think it's that, whatever. And finally he went, so the player said, well, no, what specific school of magic is it? And he went, it's plot.
Plot.
And like, what? And everyone was cracking up. I'm like, that is absolutely beautiful. I'm absolutely going to use that from now on.
Yeah.
What school of magic? Yeah. It is the school of plot. And I was like, that is brilliant.
I used to use faction mission as like somebody's like French name in the older scenarios. It'd be like, yeah, well, you find this thing because it's in the description of the room. Mm-hmm. You find this box, this inlaid, you know, box with jewels. It'd be like, ooh, what is it? It looks like it's valuable. It could mean something in the adventure. And be like, yeah, it's actually stamped on the bottom. It's got this French guy's name on the bottom. His name is Faction. And they're like, oh wow, I wonder what that. And then somebody else is just going, oh come on, just keep playing, it's an old faction mission, it doesn't matter anymore.
See lately with some of the newer scenarios that I noticed, they like to throw in this thing, this stuff where they give you this plot line and then they tell you, now the what's going on with this person right here is not within the scope of this situation.
Plot.
Mm-hmm. And so I've because I was running Captive Crystal just recently at Origins, and it's one of these, find these five people who went missing in this one place, and my players were insisting on asking about the fifth person, and in the book it's telling me the fate of this person is beyond the scope of this adventure.
You run into a wall of plot.
And so I've gotten in the habit of throwing that when I don't want people to bang their heads on a, you know, or follow the red herring too much. Right. I go, you follow it, but it's beyond the scope of this adventure.
You do gather information and you come back with plot.
With plot.
And the information that you gather is plot. And you talked to plot guy. Plot guy says.
You came back with like 30 different
references. Oh yeah, it was awesome. Plot. I was like, oh man, this is fantastic. I'm totally, I told the guy, I'm totally stealing it.
It's a nice little tip for speed.
Yeah, oh heck yeah.
Certain parts of those games.
Heck yeah.
So, while you guys were there at PaizoCon, what was something that you did at PaizoCon related to the con itself that you maybe would never have done or have never done at another gaming convention?
Like an opportunity to do something?
Yeah.
The what trivia was something that contest. You did? Cause I would have never done the trivia contest.
Okay. We actually weren't going to do it. We were going to sit out and watch.
Yeah, the whole... My intention was to do the trivia contest, and I went into it with a good sense of humor of saying, I'm about to learn everything that I don't know about Pathfinder. I just knew that was coming, and I knew it was going to be one of those, these are the minutia details of, on page 72 of the Adventurer's Armory, the third word from the top rhymes with azure. What is that word? And I'm like, and yeah, it was pretty much like that. I mean, the whole thing was this deity in this town.
There was one math question.
Yeah. This deity in this town has such and such and such and such and such and such. Okay. What's the town's main export? You're like,
wow.
Okay. So we were lucky enough to have...
I snaked him in.
Yeah. We were lucky enough to have... a young gentleman who did not have a table, and
he was admiring my dice necklace,
and said, "Can I be part of your table?" And man, were we really glad that we were glad we had him on our team, because holy moly, he was like Mr. Pathfinder Trivia.
and everybody got the name there. That was something that we wouldn't think it would be good enough. It was Scarab probably wouldn't draw enough interest to do a trivia contest to make it worthwhile, to have enough attendees, because there was only about 5 or 6 teams.
Mm-hmm.
And they all had, I think, a max of 8 players, and they all came up with different names for each other, the team names. And we were actually struggling in the beginning to come up with a name. I mean, we threw out the whole Shrek sequence of Alfred Wolf Squadron and all that kind of stuff. And we heard with some of the other people, there was Asmodeus' Chamber Pod, and I forget, it was a couple.
Robogug's Witness.
Yeah, the Robogug's Witness. They would shout out the phrase, Witness! Every time they got a point. And then we became, thanks to Dale's quick thinking, because he wrote it down on the first sheet, he had to name it for sheet. They turned it in. We were, became the sons of John Compton. And we sat on purpose the farthest away from Compton, who was Mr. John Compton, who was emceeing the event. And he was asking the questions and grading them and so forth. And every time that we scored points, I think we were kind of in shock that we were like, oh, that was right. Cool. We almost even got the math question right. I was really surprised about the math.
We missed it by 1 point.
Missed it by one modifier. It was one modifier because he was pro. That pro modifier gets you every time. But we were sitting at the opposite, the farthest table away we could. And every time we got points, he would just roll his eyes to where I thought he was going to faint because he was just, ugh. I think we ended up thanking him. And later on, we got a picture. We got a big picture for with him and everything like that too. Oh, and then I guess the one thing that we would have never done to another con is the fifth day, the pilgrimage.
Oh, yeah.
We got to go to Paizo headquarters.
We not have ever done that, we would have not have ever gotten to do that. Yeah. I mean, that was...
Yeah. You touched all their stuff.
Yeah,
that we was got, we cool. did some photo... Eric Mona did some photo bombs, and we found out where they store all their Annie Awards, which is really cool. They have a giant stuffed Sully and Mike Wazowski
from Monsters, Inc.
It's sitting in a stairwell, at the top of a stairwell, and Sully's got his arm stretched out, and his fingers are holding all their Annie Awards. They're hanging from his horns and stuff like that. So it's not stuffed in a corner, but it kind of is.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to post the picture, but, you know, I know the second I do, Disney will send scare of a cease and desist order of some kind. So I haven't posted the picture, but I've got pictures of them that I may post, and we'll see what happens.
You just put a black bar over his eyes.
Yeah,
over
his chest or something.
Censored.
Like that. Nobody knows who he is. Yeah, over his chest or something. We expected to have a big, like, Paizo Golem outside, but there was literally a door, and I crap you not, there was a piece of paper that said Paizo Incorporated. Check in inside.
Now, do you think that was like in what's that game in Command and Conquer Red Alert? Do you think that was just the fake building they put there?
I don't know. They had a really good front if that was the case.
They had all their stuff.
Yeah, it had all their stuff there. Their warehouse was attached to it.
Yeah, it had their stuff.
So it wasn't one of these, everybody in the building looked like the same guy, but with a fake mustache on every now and then?
No, they all had blue hair.
We were wondering when he first walked us in, I'm like, I have a feeling we're about to walk in one door, walk out, and get a handshake and be like, so that was the tour. Did you have a nice time? We were like, wait a minute. What happened to the rest of the tour?
The bus trip was longer than the tour. Yeah.
Okay. So it wasn't quite like that, but it wasn't quite the Willy Wonka chocolate factory.
No, Eric Mona did not give me the golden ticket, which, you know, that's okay.
But he got photobombed by
me. But he did photobomb us, which I did put the photobomb picture of him photobombing, I think my picture, out on the Scarab site. And he photobombed Matt too, which was really cool.
Hey.
It was actually funniest thing to me. I was going to say, it was really cool when we got there, when John would introduce us to each office. He'd be like, yeah, this is one of our regional venture officers, venture coordinators, and one of our venture officers from South Carolina. And everybody stopped what they were doing and came up and like shook our hands and, you know, thanked us for what we did and stuff. So it's obvious that the staff knows where we help out a lot, and they see that when they get that. And that's kind of what they give back with PaizoCon, is they're thanking their staff, all their staff for coming out. And then they give them the little peeks at the new stuff and a really cool dinner to attend and listen to all of them talk about products that are coming up. So we're all really excited about.
Yeah, it was kind of cool to see some of that. Yeah. And it was really neat to see the fact that they obviously understand how much their volunteers do.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty cool. And, you know, they had said no one's ever done that before, come and taking a tour, which I thought was amazing. Mm-hmm.
No one has ever done that.
You know, I would think. And there's not a lot to see, just a bunch of offices with books and, you know, all the Paizo-y secrets are there, of course.
Hidden little servers.
I'm sure they are. They're around there somewhere.
Goblins. The Goblin Warren was somewhere.
That's where the real goblins are. They're in that closet or in that server.
I wanted to say that the funniest thing about the office tour was the golem is not there. So you're walking through the office, and the one thing they don't have in their office is their logo.
It's nowhere. You could walk down the hallway and not know who they are.
It is nowhere to be found. Yeah. As you're walking down the hallway, if you didn't know you're in the headquarters of Paizo, you wouldn't know you're in the headquarters of Paizo. And so we get to the warehouse, and I asked John, I'm like,
you gotta have a goblin.
I'm like, we're in the warehouse, and there's a big cart, and it's full of stuff. And I said, I'm gonna steal a golem. And I just dig through the cart, and he goes, oh, well, you won't find any here. He goes, you know what? I can only think of one that we actually have. And so he goes, come here, you'll get a kick out of this. So he goes over to the warehouse to this little closet, and I'm thinking, that's weird. It looks like we're about to go into a server room. He opens the door. It's a toilet.
It's the bathroom for the warehouse.
It's the bathroom for the warehouse. And on this wall, wall right beside the toilet is this gigantic golem. It is the only place in all of Paizo. I got to show you the picture. I was going to post this picture too and then thought, I wonder if they'd be embarrassed by it. But this picture is going to go on our scare page of their golem.
Wow. It's just painted on the wall. So you're on the toilet and you just look up to your left and be like, hey, how's it going?
While you're taking care of business, you are thinking about business because
the golem
there
is
a golem doesn't have those
eyes because the eyes on the Paizo golem are really small. Yeah. But it'd be kind of interesting if they like cartooned him out and had that following eye thing, so like he's watching you.
Yeah.
Well, we're just shattering all... everybody's illusions.
Sorry. But yeah, we were really welcomed. It was really, even though it was just an office building and we had just essentially had a great weekend long party with the same people. Yeah. And we had already seen them a couple days before. Majority of them were back at work the next day and doing what they needed to do. And it was just, I felt really cool when everybody was very warm and open to, one of our volunteer venture officers or you're a regional coordinator. Everybody stopped what they were doing and came over and said thanks. And that was a really cool reception part of it too.
And then just so John doesn't get in trouble, on the way out, John did remember that there was another golem and he took us back through the bottom floor back upstairs and showed us the wooden golem by the Sully.
Right on the corner.
Right, when you come around the corner.
They may use it for like press release, but it's stored like up against the wall. It's like not, yeah.
That's our traveling golem.
It's not like on the door to get in or anything like that.
And so they did give us a funny story while we were there too. I can't remember his name, but he's their accountant. Anyways, they were during the time that they did the filming, which people will remember when they did the Humble Bundle. They filmed several members of Paizo staff doing the game. I think Jason Bowman ran one. Matter of fact, that was a trivia question of who ran the games during the Humble Bundle.
Yeah, there was like four or five of them. Yeah.
Their conference room is right next to the upstairs restroom. So for the Humble Bundle gaming thing, they made everyone use a different restroom because if they use that restroom,
pick it up.
It picked it up on their podcast.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
So, yeah.
And it probably would have been in that one time when everybody just kind of stopped talking and was really quiet and you just hear like a...
just time it for whenever anybody rolls a D20.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, crit! Kafloosh! It would have been really funny.
And we got to see Little Seattle, too. Both of us had never been to Seattle before.
Got to see Seattle. That was fun.
We didn't see the fish throwing, but we got to walk down
there.
To the market and stuff.
To different places.
You had some pictures of, at least, you had some pictures of some mountains.
Yeah.
In fact,
or some volcanoes.
I think it was kind of gaming oriented. It was pretty cool. We were downtown. I forget the name of the street. I think it was like West something. But they actually had permanent outdoor fixture gaming environments. They had a waterproof giant chess set. Mm-hmm. They had ping pong tables that were made out of metal. And they had like ping pong paddles that were attached with chains. They had... it was a couple of other like basic games like that, and it was a park instead of having a building there. It was right next to this kind of a food truck area and things like that. It was sort of a central hub for some of the bus stop. But I remember we were standing there for 10-15 minutes waiting for the bus to come, and I was remarking, it was like, these are like actual games. There was some basketball stuff, but it was the ping pong and the chess and things like that. It wasn't what you would normally see in a maybe even a city park. It was something a little bit different. And, I'm sure Paizo had something to do with that, but it was cool to see that in a city.
And tips to anybody who's going to go to Seattle. Number one, the rail costs $6 for all day. So when you get there and you want to go see downtown, take a day, go early, come late, whatever, and get a rail pass and go downtown and spend $6, get on the rail and go see Seattle. It's worth it to do. There's some great places to eat, some cool places to go see. And then...
if you've played Shadowrun, it is laid out. It's very like the game.
Tanya's husband had told me a really cool story that when he first came to Seattle, the first time he ever came to Seattle, he took the Seattle Sourcebook and navigated Seattle with that book. And that was one of the things he did. And he said it is all there. So I thought that was really cool. More advice to anyone who's going to Seattle. If you do go downtown and you see the city workers, do not take directions from any one of them that smells like they've just been hotboxing marijuana all day long.
All day long.
Because, you will walk in circles for about 8 hours. So the hotboxed guy, don't get directions from him. If a guy gets on your train and he's wearing an ankle security bracelet from the local detention center, don't interrupt that dude because he accidentally stabbed someone 3 times. Totally wasn't his fault, but just so you know. know, I wouldn't interrupt him. And oh, by the way, that same guy loves chicken rice-a-roni. So,
well, who doesn't?
You know, just saying.
It's not just the San Francisco treat.
Yeah, apparently not. Yeah,
apparently not.
Can't get that stuff in the joint. That's what I hear.
That's I believe.
Actually, he was complaining. He was complaining more about the soap and the water that was. It's like it dried out my skin really bad.
Apparently, if you do get arrested in Seattle, be warned.
Moisturize.
You're gonna want to moisturize as you shower.
Yes.
I think back in the 80s, it was cigarettes, but now it's
moisturizer.
Now it's hard water. You know, everyone, you know, you can't take a shower in the prison because of the hard water. or to quote him, dry water.
Yeah, the dry water. That water was really dry, bro.
That was to quote him. Yeah.
Dry water.
That was an interesting ride.
We got to,
I definitely wouldn't have done that under normal circumstances if I wasn't at Paizo Comics.
That was a unique experience for me as well.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So to bring it back to focused on Paizo.
Yeah.
Sure.
And less on the very interesting Seattle experience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's PFS. There's Pathfinder, the role-playing game, being run at Paizo Con.
Mm-hmm.
Surely there must have been some other activities going on at Paizo Con as well.
No.
Not really.
they did have a lot
of... I know that's not true.
It was the games that they published.
They did have other games there. So one of the things that we learned from one of the panels was that a lot of the people who work for Paizo own or publish through other means other games. Like Jason Bowman was the one that comes back to me. He owns a card game, I guess, that he's working on, a pirate-based card game.
I want to say we've got a copy of that in the Scarab Library that people can check out when they come to Scarab.
You remember the name of it? Because I don't remember the name of it.
I remember we played it, and it
was awesome.
It was a card game, and it had pirates in it.
Right. So the a lot of the other games that were offered at PaizoCon were games that the Paizo staff had also created. So that was kind of cool too to see them not just focus on PFS, to have the other stuff that was available. The thing that I was most impressed with was the Sirenscape people. We got to see
that was awesome. Excellent. I wanted to talk to you guys about
that
too.
Unbelievable. Yeah, that we got to see some other vendors that are working on other products to help support Paizo. And they had another thing I wouldn't have normally done was the Paizo scavenger hunt, because at Scarab I don't get to do the scavenger hunt.
Yeah.
But so Paizo had a scavenger hunt. They totally stole from Scarab.
How does their
they have a boon associated with it?
They give a boon associated.
You have a boon that's only usable at.
Well, that's not fair.
It's Paizo Con.
We can't
not just that one though.
Right.
Yeah. You can bring it back the next year and use it at other Paizo.
I know. So
I wish we could do that for Scarab for something people could actually use in games. But yeah, but
I kept mine. We'll photocopy it about 1,000 times.
There you go.
And just hand it out to everyone at Paizo. It has the little stamp on it and everything.
I mean, can we have a boon that says you can only use this boon at Scarab conventions or Scarab related?
Yeah, yeah.
Because then you wouldn't get in trouble if they took it to some game
in
Orlando. They couldn't use it because I can only
in John Compton's game. I whipped out the old Raj Sholto boon. You know, and Compton looked. Boy, he looked at that hard too. What is that? So that's a boon. Where'd you get that? I wrote it. It's just for my character. He allowed it. He thought it was pretty funny, so we rolled with it. It was entertaining.
The Sirenscape thing was pretty cool. It was a little distracting sometimes when you were going through that particular area of the con, but they had set up where people could actually come and record whatever they wanted to, and they would get their timestamps and their names and contact information and stuff like that. So they ended up using it. They'd let them know, but people would record monster voices, and I went and recorded a few voices too. I did some golem stuff and some squeaky voices and some things like that. But it was day 3 of the con, I think, when we did it. I did it, so my voice was kind of starting to go a little bit. But they have a full suite of sound effects that is meant. So, in fact, I'd love to try it this year at Scarab to have like one of the VIP GM rooms to be able to set up.
We talked about that.
The speakers set up in surround sound and have everything queued up and to design, pick an adventure that's maybe a little shorter and have a full sound effect suite to go with it. And they have, and it's actually, we can get it through the contacts we have with Paizo
to get the
full version of the thing.
I was going to say, maybe we could get some from Sirenscape come down and run that.
I'm definitely going to run one this year, so I'm going to take a scenario. I haven't decided which one yet, but I'm going to take a scenario and then apply all the Sirenscape to it, all the sound effects and stuff.
Okay.
And then I'm going to, in addition, in seeing some of the stuff that Brian sent about the True Dungeon and the way they did their scenery and stuff for that, with just the sheets and those painted sheets, I thought that was really cool. So I'm thinking about trying to figure out a way to do scenery and all that and really make it a actual VIG PFS scenario for that room where it's full sound effects, full, you know, artwork, immersion, whatever, and do that. So I think it'd be really cool. So yeah, that's my plan, something I took from PaizoCon that I'm definitely using for us at Scarab. Mm-hmm.
So surely they had some of the card game going on there too?
Yep, I played my first one. I finished my first card game and got the sheet for it.
Because I know at Origins, the card games, you'd walk outside the PFS room, the card game was always.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. And they had Mummy's Mask at Origins, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, Mummy's Mask.
It looked like it was the fresh off the printer.
Yeah, it's awesome. That's what we got to demo there, and I can tell you, it's tough.
I think actually we're bringing it to some of the games too.
July 9th at Boardwalk and Grape.
I'm not bringing Mummy's Mask. I don't have Mummy's Mask, but I've got I've got Skulls and Shackles is what I'm bringing to the game today. Mummy's Mask isn't out yet. Every Mummy's Mask game I played, we failed. So that was
tough. Yeah, the card game has gotten a lot tougher to survive the scenarios to get through them a lot.
Huh.
But I did actually not only did I complete my first game, but I learned that it's actually really fast. I thought it was going to be really slow because I had seen people play it, and I'm like, man, they're at that table for a long time. But they're probably end up doing is playing characters and dying and failing and then trying again. Because it was pretty tough. We squeaked by just barely. But when you have players that really know what they're doing, it goes through pretty fast. I was very impressed with the way they organized all of that. I didn't see any problem with mustering and game placement and people like that.
So. I was going to ask about mustering since I know that's something that...
mustering there was a lot more laid back.
At least two people who live in this house do it at Gen Con.
Yeah, mustering there's a lot more laid back. Essentially, if you have a ticket, you go to your table. And if you don't have a ticket, you wait in the hall. Once they're ready to release that, they just let them in.
That's kind of the way they did it.
That's what Brian said. That's how they did it at Origins.
And that seemed to work out pretty well.
Yeah, yeah. I think the only problem.
They had doors too set up.
I don't know how Origins was laid out, but they
3-7, 5-9, and then they would just stand by those doors. So there wasn't just one mob.
Each door was a tier.
Each door was a tier. So that was kind of perfect the way they laid that out.
I don't know if we can do that at Scarab, having just a single door into that room.
We can mark something with tape or something like that. But yeah.
But Brian said he's going to try and do something similar.
Kids with colored flags that
wave people down like at an airport.
There's enough kids.
We got to see a lot of that at Denver while we were waiting.
Yeah, it's true too. Yeah, it's true. 9 hour layover, that makes life nice. Banquet, we went to two banquets. Those were nice. The coolest thing I think that I saw in the banquet was definitely the horror stuff that's coming out. The Paizo is releasing. I don't know if all of season 8 is going to be that way, but in releasing those horror books, there's some really cool stuff coming out.
Well, they're doing it for the AP. They're doing it for the new...
For the
correct. Yeah, that looks very... Right. They're actually teaming up with Chaosium for that. So they're going to have actual Cthulhu stuff in the scenario, in the AP. And they're using the full range of that horror stuff too. It looks really cool.
Yeah. So rather than the revamp Harry and Crawl.
To try to think of all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just going to...
Because I know there's a lot in that.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to... Since I'm running Carrying Crown right now, I'm waiting for that book to come out because I'm going to apply that immediately. Matter of fact, that book may... I may have a release a book already on my account. I may have to look and see.
But that's you. That's not the people who are probably listening to this podcast.
All you plebes out there who don't have it early, what can I say?
But your version will be probably more broken.
I'm sure it will probably be. So the one person at the banquet that I had, the one person probably in all of Paizo that I have the most in common with is Lessa, and I'm hoping I'm not butchering her name because she's the IT person Paizo. So as chance would have it, for the banquet, we get to sit at her table. And then I didn't get to say hardly two words to her the whole time because there was so much other conversation going on. I was dying to ask her about their Humble Bundle experience and how that all worked because everyone was just beating up their servers. So I was wanting to pick her brain about that. But
it's all the person that was sitting next to her. Crystal Frazier was sitting next to her and she got all the attention.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she's done so much stuff. So there was a bunch of questions aimed at her.
So we had two good banquet then. The second coolest thing to me was the mini books. I really like the idea.
Sorry, we'll get to that.
I really like the idea of the mini.
They're smaller rule books. Those are really cool. Like quarters, like half size.
People were talking to us about that at Origins. Yeah. So there's a lot.
I got to touch one as Bowman walked by. I was like, can I hold it? And then he gave it back. I wanted to see how much it weighed.
Can I hold it?
Because a lot of the rule books that we've seen as gamers in the past, we've dealt with the thicker they are, the bigger they are. So, and we see, I can look down and see bookshelves being weighed down heavily. I conjured up the image of the Paizo conference room where they have shelves that are being weighed down heavily with books and games and things like that. And then I think, well, I know they can make books decent quality and lightweight because we've seen the Champions books. They do a really good job of that.
And the Savage Worlds.
Savage Worlds stuff too. They've gone to that smaller size too. And so that half-sized is getting to be a little more, because more people are doing their online and doing PDFs and things like that. I think they're trying to cater to that crowd and sell something because people still like to flip through a book.
Oh, yeah. Again.
But it seemed like it was something that they were trying and it probably would work and probably sell a good bit. I think it just had the core book and the, what was the other?
Was it Game Mastery Guide or was it Bestiary? I can't remember what second was.
I think it was
APG. I don't remember.
It was, I didn't see the second book. He only had the core book with him.
Right. The picture had almost all their hardback line though, it looked like.
It looked like their core hardback line was going to be available as that smaller format. When I get a backpack that could fit them all, they come out with another format. I gotta buy the books all. It's just like Star Wars. You know, every time it came out with a new video, I had to buy them all over again.
It's just more room in your book bag.
That's it.
I guess, yeah. Since I got a new book bag, because that one broke the day.
Well, see, they have to mini them because they're re-releasing Crimson Throne. And apparently Crimson Throne is going to be about the size of 10 volumes of the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Oh my gosh.
I think they said it's going to be over 500?
Page, yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's a monster.
They're putting a lot of new artwork. It looks beautiful. The stuff we saw
was beautiful.
Yeah.
It is going to be a huge release. They're putting a bunch of stuff back in it that had been edited out originally, and so it is a monster book for people that really like crunchy campaign stuff. They're going to love the re-release campaign of Crimson Throne.
I had a great time because of the stress release and getting to meet a whole bunch of people, and definitely plan on doing it again next year if it's possible.
The Sons of Compton will return.
Yeah. Sons of Compton.
Yeah. So funny.
Are you guys going to get motorcycle jacks at the same?
We should.
I know. I was thinking more of like a sash.
Like
Miss America pageant, you know, like a sash. And we put ribbons on every time for every year we've gone. That might be a little cheaper, maybe.
He was standing in the hallway the next morning and talking to a bunch of blue shirts who were not obviously at the banquet the night before. And I walked up behind him and went, "Hey, Daddy, I was real good last night. I didn't touch my brothers in bed or nothing." And he looked at me and went, "I could have lived my whole life and not heard that." And I just walked off.
It was probably really close because he was standing in front of all the Delve stuff with the thing right there. That was when I did my Sirenscape thing, and I did my impression of Crichton Shane as Uncle Albert from Mary Poppins.
Nice.
And he looked at me. His conversation stopped. I was like, "Hi, I'm Crichton Shane. I talk like this all the time." And he's like, he just stopped his conversation and slowly turned, like daggers coming out of his eyes, and just shook his head because he realized who it was. He's like, "Oh, it's that guy." He just shook his head and turned back around. Just, "Oh, that's not even close, Matt."
He's you've ruined that NPC for me, which is hard to do.
I was like, "What can I do?" That's how I role play Crichton Shane. I'm dreadfully sorry.
That's what we should do. We should get people to send in their best impressions of some of those iconic PFS NPCs.
We'll see how many of them sound like Deckard Cain from Diablo.
Because
they all end up sounding
like Deckard Cain.
Yeah. About the third day in the con, everybody's like, "Oh, sit a while and listen.
Awesome.
They all sound like this."
Any other last thoughts on PaizoCon?
It's something that was a really cool, unique experience, and it's very different from the bigger cons that we've typically gone to in the past as volunteers or as attendees to go and meet other people. It seemed even more laid back than some of the other stuff that has come up recently, like Origins and things too.
If you're a Pathfinder fan
person,
not just Pathfinder Society, but Pathfinder. PaizoCon is a bucket list must. You've got to go one time in your life. It's well worth the experience, and it's a great event. But then it's made even better by the people that are hosting it.
Yeah,
sure, the people that work.
Well, awesome! It sounds like you guys had a great time at PaizoCon. I look forward to talking to you guys about what you experience next year. Hopefully, it's some more even crazier, awesome stuff. Well, crazy per se, crazier in the Pathfinder sense, not in the Seattle experience. So again, thanks. Thank you, Dell, Phil Collins, and Matt Kowski for
glad to be here.
On
Very
here.
Welcome.
We'll definitely have to have you guys on the other points to get to talk more about the goings on in Pathfinder and Pathfinder System.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about Season 8. We'll have to do another episode of Season 8.
That's okay. Excuses. We'll get it done.
Yeah.
That just means people will just have to tune in again to the Scarab Warped Swarmcast to hear about Pathfinder Society Season 8 with Dale Collins and or Matt.
There we go. Mm-hmm.
So that's some awesome stuff there from Dale and Matt. Oh, hold on a second. Toast just sent me a text from KoboldCon. Let's see what it says. Having a great time. The caves here are dank, smelly, and full of meat. Everything a kobold could want.
Found some silly gnomes trying to have a con next door. Can you believe that? The stupid creatures seem to think they are so smart, but they are barely knowing anything about podcasts and internets and most modern technologies.
Toast, what are you doing?
Huh? Oh, well, I'm just texting about the con for a podcast that I work on.
Podcast? Texting? What was that thing?
Oh, yeah, right. No internet or cell phones here. So, are we still beating things up with sticks and eating them?
Heck yeah, we are. Wouldn't be the same if we didn't.
Right, right. So, what events are going on right now, then?
Well, we marked them down on this old war horn that someone found. Let's take a look. Let's see. Okay. Find the Path. That's very popular. Boring Games. Surprisingly popular.
That's weird.
Late Nights Clubs and Sticks Against Humanity. That's pretty fun.
Yeah, sounds like it. Oh, and
Darren Miller's running some Savage Worlds.
Darren Miller? That guy's everywhere.
Yeah, I know, right? Let's see. Right now is the Iron Kobold Contest. Let's see. Kobold Karaoke. A carp.
Carp? That sounds kind of fishy.
Oh, it's great. It's a Kobold Action Role Playing. we pretend to be adventurers. Okay. We beat up other kobolds for experience, points, money, and foods.
Yeah, that does sound pretty fun. Okay, sign me up for that. Starts in 30 minutes. What do we do until then?
We can check out the demoing and crowdfunding zone, or the DCZ.
Okay, let's check that out. Hey, wait, is that Dan and Chris?
They think they own this place. Just ignore them. Don't make eye contact or feed their ego.
Gotcha.
We, and by we, I mean myself, John, my wife, Ruby.
Hello.
And Calvin, the Calvin C. Corn.
C.
we are just leaving Origins, where we've been there from Wednesday, and it is now Sunday in the afternoon, so we should be getting in back to Columbia, South Carolina, late, probably on Tuesday. No, I'm just kidding, on Monday.
It should be like 11 to midnight, somewhere around there.
Right. So the question has come up of what has been our best and worst experiences here at Origins at 2016. Calvin's like, come to me last because I've got a big list of worsts. No, I'm just kidding. No. Right. So I guess since Ruby brought up the subject, we'll start with her. What's been your best experience at Origins? We'll start with the good stuff and end on a low note.
I liked being able to go up to Ohio, and this is going to be weird because I think this is the kind of same thing I said for Gen Con last time, was the food. So really nothing to do with the convention. I liked the convention. It was fun. It was nice to see people that we see from all over. Some of the people we usually see at Gen Con we saw here. People we see in Atlanta we saw up here. So that was kind of cool. It had a much more relaxed and laid back vibe down in like the dealer's hall and the different hallways. You weren't always just like shoulder to shoulder with people, but there were still lots of people around. Whereas, Gen Con spread out. Origins doesn't feel spread out, but it is very spread out. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Just the laid backedness and the ease of everything and the food.
The food. Really the food.
Which by
even though they were renovating and their restaurants had weird hours initially and there were less restaurants than normal in their food court, the foods that were there were fantastic.
And of course, we found probably all the really awesome stuff towards the end of the con.
Yeah. All right.
Calvin, what about you? What was your best Origins experience as we pass by a Subway home office.
Well, having lived in Ohio, in this particular part of Ohio, about 20 years ago, for me, the best part was coming up and seeing some of my old friends.
So again, nothing to do with the convention.
But...
Well, it's an overall.
An overall. Convention-wise, I did have some highlights. Okay, the drinking was also kind of... But that didn't have anything to do with the convention either.
Didn't it, though?
Yeah, maybe it did. I agree with the whole the laid back. I didn't feel as pressured to like at Gen Con. It's like get your areas in, get it out, get in, get out.
And okay, you got 15 minutes for food.
Yeah, you got 15 minutes for food starting now. Didn't feel as pressured as that. And 15 minutes for food here would actually be feasible. 15 minutes for food at Gen Con was, well, you're going to go to that little shop that they have right outside the Paizo room, because that's...
And hope the line wasn't
And hope the enough. Line isn't too long.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, nothing but hot dogs for the next 5 days kind of thing.
whereas here, they the North Market, which is the shop where they had restaurants, like authentic restaurants from around the world, like so they had Polish food, they had...
The Mediterranean
was fantastic. they had
it's all food.
Yeah, because they had a bunch of other foods. Anyway, but food.
We're all fat people. Tell by talking about food all the time.
So that was kind of amazing. The hotel room, though, this is my favorite right here. The hotel room being physically connected to the building. So there was not, you have to walk, to go down the elevator and walk 2 miles to get to the,
climb out of the building.
Yeah, go out of the building, go down the road, go across the street. Get hit by a taxi. Sorry about that, buddy. So it was literally, you go down the elevator, you walk around the corner, and the Paizo room was right there.
I think, Calvin, you're the only one that actually left the building of our group. John and I never actually left the hotel/convention center area.
Yeah, because I went to the North Market and got food for you guys. So.
Yeah.
And man, if we had known about that.
Yeah, because I didn't find out about that until Friday. So, if we didn't know about that, that place was amazing. But also at the convention, I always like meeting new people. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of newer faces we didn't know, but then at the same time, there were a lot of people who I did know. From Gen Con and a few of the other cons. So kind of a cool mix. I didn't expect to see that many people that we knew. So, that was cool.
Alright.
Cool. Let's see. What highlights? What was the good for me?
Come on, you know you
want to
say it.
Sorry, we're running all sorts of bumpy roads here. Okay. To me, I gotta admit, the highlight for me was running kobolds during the Midnight Massacre on Friday night. Just the sheer number of people in that room and the way the All Hail King Tor just reverberated through the whole room was amazing.
All Hail King Tor.
All Hail King Tor. It was truly a spectacle unto itself. Getting to see in the Ninth Level Games guys again, that was great. Chris and Heather O'Neill. And finally getting to meet the infamous Dan Landis. That was pretty amazing. They signed all my books. Every book they signed. I may have gotten some swag from them to give out to Kobold players at certain games. Maybe.
So this is something I think I just mentioned to John in passing, and it's dealing with the Kobold people with Chris and whatnot. They were down in the dealer's room, and John and I, this whole weekend all the way up until just before we left here on Sunday, we never actually got to go in there together. So I'm walking around down there, and of course I stop at the booth, and then I say hi to Chris. And he introduces me to the other person working the booth with him, saying, "This is Ruby, John's wife. You know, John." And she's like, "Oh, cool, so nice to meet you." I'm like, "Wow, I'm infamous because of my husband, huh? Okay." So, John is well-loved and known by them.
Wahoo! But aside from any cobalt stuff, I agree with what everyone else has said here so far. It was really great because of just this year. I don't want to say laid back, but it definitely was not the harrowing experience that we would get from working stuff at Gen Con.
Yeah.
And it felt like it was easy enough to get into the dealer's room to not just look at stuff, but to actually meet the different dealers.
Yeah.
Heck, went by Pelgrane Press today and got to talk with Kenneth Height about
stuff.
Well, pretty much all their... it was John and Ken talk about stuff. It was kind of weird. I got to talk to him a lot about Knights Black Agents. He thanked me for running the game and running any of their games for that matter. I thought it was awesome when we went by the booth with the guy selling the game Hellas. That was awesome.
That was great.
Because Calvin's been dipping his toes into that, and he ran it for us at least once, and it was pretty neat.
Yeah.
He got the other two books for Hellas.
Yeah, and I'm gonna get the GM game
thing
and the cards.
And maybe those cards. Okay. Those cards are pretty cool.
Cards are great because
those cards are pretty slick. We saw so much cool stuff.
We did.
So much cool stuff. Game accessory wise, like those miniature display things that were not only amazing, but were not
too expensive.
Things that were like, wow, as a poor gamer, that sounds amazing to me because
I will eventually be able to get it.
Yeah, I like being able to get cool stuff. Yeah.
So and you know, I kind of like the fact that they sell those display cases individually because
you may not need 14 of them.
I may not need 14 of them, and I can go once a month, hey,
$10, here we go.
$10, let me go ahead and put in another order, I'll get one. Hey, you know, in a year I'll have 12 of them.
Right.
And I won't have spent. I mean, I'll have spent the money, but it wouldn't be a big
investment all at once.
Yeah.
It's like layaway for gaming.
Yeah, exactly.
Was it these guys?
Yes,
yeah.
That was
so it was Active Minds Games. So Active Minds Games, which
we'll put a link to.
We'll put a link to it, but it's ActiveMindsGames1word.com. And Hellas was, of course, Kipera Publishing. Oh my gosh, we'll totally just put a
link.
Link to their
official symbol is very similar to Scarab.
Yeah.
Their official symbol is very similar.
In fact, it is.
He actually
it
has
is
a tattoo
Scarab.
Of it on
Scarab.
His arm.
That's right. Maybe we could convince those guys to come to Scarab. That'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
there was just so much cool stuff.
There really
the,
was.
Too much cool stuff to see that none of it felt like it was, oh, this is out of my price range, except for some of those really cool wooden dice boxes.
Man,
but
if I had the money to spend.
Yeah, all sorts of cool stuff.
But unfortunately, I can think of a better way to spend $400 on gaming-related items.
Right.
Like that Kickstarter for those map.
Ah, yes, Mystics.
The Mystics.
Mystics
Tiles by Table Forge Games.
Yep, and that's Mystics with an X. They've got a Kickstarter going on as of
right now.
As of right now of us leaving Origins, hopefully.
It started the Monday before Origins and will end at the end of the month.
Right.
So, I'm getting in on that.
Me too.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Me too. So, whenever Calvin and I are around running games, once those come out, we'll be using those, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
While other sucker GMs are getting ink all over their hands and stuff.
Be laying it down.
Yeah.
Literally laying it down.
Literally. They have I liked that they had the boxes and then the little how you could
put the light effects over.
The light effects over top of the other one. So you have a not lit
torch.
Yeah,
and a toilet torch. So.
Yeah.
Really cool.
And if someone's like going into a room and there's a door, you can go, oh, let me open that door.
And then remove the door.
Remove it. Yeah. Just tilt it so it looks like it's open.
Yeah.
Boom, door's open.
Yeah.
Let's see.
So I think that's a lot of good. I'm sure there's some stuff we left out, but yeah. You know what? That just tells you it's overflowing with
goodness.
Really good
stuff. Good experiences. I think overall this year it's been a big learning experience for us as well.
Yeah.
We know better ways to optimize that. We could probably have a whole show on how to optimize that, but I think it's pretty much optimized mostly to our experience and stuff we would be doing. But I know we can give a few hints out. In fact, we'll give a few hints, little tips out after we go over the next topic, which was, what was the downside? Probably okay. Your worst experience at Origins.
Are you gonna start?
I'll start this.
Calvin's raising both of his hands, yes. Which is not good because he's driving. So he better answer now so they can get it back.
The elevators.
I was totally gonna say
the
same thing.
Elevators. You should never have to wait 15 minutes for an elevator.
Now,
we did hear something interesting about those elevators, too.
Yeah. So. I will say, first off, that they are renovating both the convention space and part of the hotel.
Yeah.
And the elevators were being worked on. One of them was permanently closed because they had it torn apart and were trying to work on it.
They're actually going to replace those elevators, what we were told.
Right. Well, go ahead and tell your elevator story, then, real quick.
Mine?
Yeah, because we're talking about elevators.
I had an elevator story?
Yeah, you said. Remember?
Oh, it was we were in the elevator, and this one guy was like, yep, good thing, but it's like this last time they're going to be using these, though. I think it was me and you were there.
Yeah, yeah.
I was there.
Oh, you were there, too?
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, that's the story.
So I found out...
No, you totally didn't tell all of the story. They said, the same guy said that there was this dude standing in the back of it, and he was going, that's not a good sound. Oh, I think it'll be okay. But he was one of the elevator maintenance people there checking out the elevators to see just how far gone they were. And he's like, they'll probably last a little while. And we're like, wait. Little while? Or a little while?
Calvin and I found the super secret elevator that went up to the fourth floor. What's on the fourth floor? It's amazing. It's offices. Some sort.
Office. It's office planning headquarters for the convention center.
Wasn't as cool as
it was closed.
We were hoping it was kind of.
There was a kind of 3D map of, I'm guessing, the area.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was kind of cool. But other than that.
Yeah, and I was half expecting to see 40K minis on there.
Yeah,
and stuff like that.
So, I will mention my other downside that I had to this convention. It's not silence. I felt like there were way too many stairs/escalators, and you had to go up weird levels to get to different places. It's like sometimes you had to go downstairs to get to the next part on the upstairs, and I'm sure that is just because of construction, because there were all sorts of these temporary white walls.
Yeah.
But that was my other. Besides the elevators, it was just... But things were still clearly marked. There was always directional areas, and the convention center actually had staff in very obvious... well-placed areas that if you were kind of lost, they could help you and direct you where to go.
Right.
So but back to the elevators for a second.
Sorry.
We were talking
so this
about
morning, I go and I'm waiting for the elevator to go down, and so I push the down button.
That's what she said.
And I push the down button, and I'm waiting there. The elevator stops on my level to go up. Like three times. And I'm like, so the first time I'm like, I'll wait. It's got to come back down, right? Second time I go, it's kind of crowded. Don't know if I want to get on there. The third time I'm like, I'm riding it up and I'll ride it back down. So we get on there and another one of the elevator technicians guys is on there. And so we go up and he's sitting there talking to me and these guys get on the floor above me, well, on the 20th floor, and they all get on, and they go, well, now we're going to stop at every floor on the way down, and so the technician guy goes, he's looking around the elevator, and he goes, I don't think so, and so we get to floor two, and all those people get off, and I'm going all the way down to the lobby, which is where the technician was going, and so the doors close, and he goes... The elevators are weight sensitive, so if there's a certain amount of weight, they don't stop until they get to the lobby.
So basically everyone was too damn fat.
So yeah, it was too much weight. It wasn't going to stop let anybody else on until it was offloading people. He was like, so I knew we weren't stopping until we got to the second floor.
That answers a lot of questions.
Well, it explains a whole lot. And that means always go up.
To get down.
To get down. Because you gotta find that song now, babe.
Gotta go up.
Gotta get up to get down.
Wow. Thank you, Elijah Otis.
Yeah. So always go, if it stops on your level, just get on. Doesn't matter if you're going up, if you're going down. If it stops on your level, get on the elevator. Squeeze in. Just get in the elevator.
If this is their last real big convention, then it won't matter.
That's true.
Hopefully they'll have better elevators.
All right. But enough of the ups and downs of the elevator talk.
Yes, did that.
Did you? Yes. I had to go there. That one's for...
Randy.
All right, so any other bad, Calvin?
There really wasn't.
No. I can't even think of any,
How could you have had any bad experience when you got to meet Santa Claus?
I did get to meet Santa Claus.
So did I.
And he...
That's true.
He actually invited me to...
Santa...
He was
Santa's
like, if you ever want to be a Santa Claus. And I was like, well, sir, I could use help.
I could all use all the little helpers.
And I was just like, I'll think about that.
What?
I could be a Santa Claus.
Yeah, you could. You need a longer beard, though.
He's working on it.
I'm working on it.
It's the year of the corn, baby.
Yeah.
Anything's possible. Anyway. Ruby,
the bad. I cannot think of anything other than that, what I mentioned. There weren't
elevators.
Even, normally at conventions, there's usually just this one person that'll sick you off in a game.
Damn.
And just set you off. I can't really think of any problem players. I did have some that were skirting it.
I thought you were getting ready to say.
No. There was definitely one that was skirting it, but once I did my standard spiel at the beginning of the game, for the most part, he bat towered down. Woohoo! We all got messages.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that message in a little bit.
One person that kind of got to me was never even one of my players. So, he was just
nearby.
A very
persistent
individual.
Yeah, very overly friendly.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Chew your ear off about things that you really just didn't want to talk about.
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about. I know who you're talking about. In fact, okay. Any other bad, Ruby? Or Calvin?
Nope. We had pretty good roommates, and the food was...
That one guy sleeping on the Cotner room, he was okay.
Yeah, he was...
Calvin slept on the floor. But, that's what he does. If he's not on the floor, he's in the closet, sleeping.
The closet was way too small. I was not fitting in that closet.
Not unless he stood up.
Unless I slept.
Which apparently is what Matt Bukowski did at
PaizoCon,
and then their room. He slept standing up in their closet or something like that.
He was laying
his
on the
feet
floor
up in
with
the air.
His legs up in the air. Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
That's a story for a different time.
Yeah. Maybe I'll get Del and Matt on the show to talk about the origins or their origins experience. Talk about their PaizoCon experience.
Right.
Who knows?
What about you, John?
What was my bad? My bad was I was really worried when Wednesday we got in there and the food court closed before dinner.
Yeah.
It closed around 3, and there was a big sign saying, hey, we're closing at 3 on Thursday. I got really, really worried that I was not going to be able to get things like dinner.
Yeah.
Which, again, had
we known about the North Park.
Right. So my bad kind of was one of those, every quote-unquote bad thing I had was something that I was like, okay, well, I've learned for next year. I've learned this for next year. Granted, most of it was food-related.
We really do talk about food a lot.
So it was just, my only bads was food-related and things where I was like, in retrospect, I probably should have done my schedule better because I didn't realize that the schedule that I had kind of requested and put together pretty much locked me out of going down to the vendor area because it was always, I'm starting to do stuff before it opens and I'm ending right when they close. But it turns out one of my games did make, which gave me ample time to go down there on one day, and I was able to actually go down there today, the last day of the con. Here's another kind of good thing. Most times, last days of the con, even at Gen Con, especially at Gen Con, you go in there that last day, right after lunchtime, and it is like a weird wasteland. This still was going strong. At least that's the way it felt to me.
True, very true.
So that's my big bads, as far as I can tell. So, the last part of this we'll do is, are there any tips that we might want to give for folks who are going to a convention such as Origins, like Origins, for example?
I would say be sure to take your vitamins beforehand, because you will not get as much sleep as you normally would. Also, be sure to drink a lot of water. Stay hydrated. Not that it was hot up here, because, you know, it's funny, it was only 88. We're all like, suckers. I almost said a different word. But, and, you know, if you're one of those other people that are really, really concerned about getting sick, then bring your Germex or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Hand sanitizer stuff, yeah. I'm also going to throw the Ricola.
Yes. If you're running a lot of games,
throat soothing cough drop things.
Yeah. Yes. The Ricola ones in particular, I know Halls has like the liquid filled ones in the center, but they end up being too medicine-y tasting and will upset your tummy easily.
Yeah, these
the
taste
Ricola
delicious.
The Ricola ones taste like candy with mint in the center.
And they have a nice cooling effect on your throat.
So.
It's kind of like, speaking of cooling effect on your throat.
So I learned something kind of this year.
Yeah.
What, did you learn it last night?
No.
Okay.
I learned some things last night too. But if you're GMing, or hell, if you're a player,
we could say the hell word.
Oh, okay. Or if you're a GM, if you're going to be at a table with a bunch of people, you can't do anything about their body odor for some of them, okay? Because you don't want to go around just like spraying. Plus, then you just become that guy who's overwhelmingly obnoxious smelling of perfumes or
Axe body spray.
Axe body spray. But a bag of chewing gum that is like has a high intensity
flavor
to it,
like icebreakers or something
like that. If you get those out, people were like, sure,
the old gum. Yeah,
I was just like, man, my table doesn't smell horrible.
It smells minty fresh.
It smells minty fresh, and so I handed out gum every game. Yes.
So if you like honey baked ham, you should just give out free slices of ham.
Honey baked ham. Because people are constantly talking, so I'm not saying anybody smelled horrible or anything, because it wasn't bad, but people were constantly talking, and as they're chewing, they're constantly, it's just like
spewing,
you know.
That is probably
that
the
scent.
Oddly enough, that's the best thing, best new gamer con tip I've heard in a long time. Holy crap.
It was great.
You're making people happy and keeping your area fresh.
That's right.
Yeah, and you're not sitting there going, oh my god, it's horrible over here. No, it was good. So that's my tip.
So Ruby's tip is keep yourself healthy. Calvin's tip is give your players stuff to make their breath smell better.
Yeah.
What's yours, John?
I'm going to go with a standard, which is make sure you got comfortable shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Be aware of what your schedule is. Schedule better.
I can add in.
I don't know.
Plan ahead. Look at the map.
Yeah.
Look at the layout of the place. And learn
where the food is.
Learn where the food is. Because, you know, like John was saying, they closed at 3. Had we known where that North Market was, it was like a block away from the convention center. And they didn't close till 7, so we could easily have gone over there to get food. But the first two nights, we were eating.
Scrambling for whatever we could find.
Which...
So, I do have one more.
Okay.
Bring a friend. It's always better to go with friends.
You know what? You're right. Yeah. That really helped us out a lot.
Yeah. because we all had different schedules. A lot of ours overlapped, but it was one of those, like, especially Saturday night. I had to run a special. John was getting done with his game right at the time that food, we would have had to do food. So Calvin ran out, purchased all of our dinner. We sat down, we ate together, and then we went our separate ways. Yeah. Right. And it is also always fun to have a friend around to joke around with and hang out. Because, you know, sometimes it's just not fun to walk around by yourself. Unless you're a super social person and just make friends on the fly. But,
and it wasn't like just the three of us either. Because occasionally, like, Amy would come down and bring one of us a drink or something. Or, you know, or Brian. Even Brian was you know, he was helpful for a change. Oh, we love you, Brian. That was just a lot of fun. I think the five of us that were there doing, because it was really us the five of us, me, the three of us here, and Amy and Brian Gambrell, who pretty much stuck together.
Car.
They're in a different car, which is why they're not on this.
And they left a little earlier than we did.
Yep, I can't blame them. Yeah, that's the other tip. Be aware of how long a drive you're going to be in for, because you might have a game that starts up just a couple hours after you arrive from an 8.5 hour drive.
And then you may have to game and run games until midnight
that night. Yep. Okay. Scheduling. Science. Okay.
I think that's
good. A wrap for what our post wrap up of Origins experience.
Wrap up. Drive home.
Drive home. For the Swarmcast. I'm John.
I'm Ruby.
And I'm Calvin.
Alright, we'll talk to you guys later.
Gee, I sure wish I could play some Pathfinder, but I don't know anybody who plays or runs it.
Wednesday! At Firefly Toys and Games in Columbia, South Carolina, Scarab Gaming Convention presents Pathfinder Society Game Night. Play scenarios!
Earn XP!
Crush your enemies! The cost is free!
Free!
Newbies, welcome!
I better write this down. I sure hope that yelling guy tells me when it is again.
Wednesday! At Firefly Toys and Games, Columbia, South Carolina. Games start at 6 p.m. and 7 p.m. Check listings on Firefly's Facebook site for details, or check out the Palmetto Lodge meetup site on meetup.com. Pathfinder Society Game Night. Roll the dice before they roll you.
Well, I like the sound of that. I'm there. What's all the excitement hearing about Scarab having some game days as well? What's that?
That's right. Scarab Gaming Convention takes their show on the road. We're talking about Scarab Game Days.
Game Days.
Oh, yeah. That's right. One day out of the month, Scarab staff goes to your friendly local gaming store and runs games all day.
All day.
Well, that sounds great. It's just right up my alley. Gee, I don't know if I have enough money to go to something like that.
It's free!
Free!
Well,
okay, calm down. Alright, you had me at free. I sure wish I knew when the next game day was, or where.
To find out where, all you need to do is go to www.s-c-a-r-a-b.com and click on the Scarab calendar. Or you can go to Facebook and check out the events listed on Facebook. Or you can listen to the Swarmcast for regular postings of when some of these game days will occur and where. Or you can listen to this guy.
Hey guys, this is John. Just want to let you know that July 9th, we're going to be at Boardwalk in Greenville, South Carolina. We're going to have board games, RPGs, miniatures games. And then August 20th, we're going to be bringing some role-playing games and possibly some other games to White Widow Games in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Come on by. There's going to be board games, role-playing games with Scarab, and there's also some video games and all sorts of fun to be had at White Widow Games.
Well, gee, that all sounds great. I think you're going to have to check out these game days. I'm there!
Scarab Game Days. Play them before they play you!
Scarab Game Days will actually not play you. You'll play them. You'll have a lot of fun. They are free and they are at your local gaming stores. You should go check them out. Go on the website. You should get all sorts of information about it. And please, everybody have safe fun and just have fun. Play games. Play lots of games. Play more games with Scarab.
That brings us to the end of our show.
I hope Toast is having a great time at KoboldCon. Again, I don't know where exactly that is. We'll have to talk to him about his convention experience when he gets back. Thanks to Dell and Matt for coming on. We'll have to have Dell come back on in the future on some episodes with the Paizo and PFS updates and such. You know, we're still looking for a name for his segment, so if you have an idea, why not send it to me at swarmcast@scarab.com. That's s-c-a-r-a-b.com. Hey, if we use it, you'll get a cool prize from the Swarmcast or Scarab. So until next time, this is John saying transform and swarm out. Okay, I'm kind of working on that one.
That's it. That's the end of this episode of the Scarab Swarmcast. If you liked this, or even if you didn't, feel free to send us an email at swarmcast@scarab.com. That's s-c-a-r-a-b. Lots of little dashes in there. Or you can leave us a message on Facebook. Yeah, Facebook. If you want us to read any of your comments on the show, let us know. Hey, subscribe to our show. Check out the show on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Or you can grab that new RSS feed from our website. You can get our website off of Facebook or off of Scarab's website. Ah, it's all a bunch of internet flibbity-jibbity. So, until next time, when you think of Scarab's Wormcast, think of this podcast. And when you think of Toast, think of me!
Music on the Scarab Swarmcast is by iFi Dragons at ifidragons.com, MC Lars at mclars.com, and Midnight Syndicate at midnightsyndicate.com.
Oh my god, I never thought I'd ever hear MGMT again, but guess who popped up on the Yo Gabba Gabba Spotify station yesterday?
She's late for baby yoga, but she's looking hella fly. Breastfeeding out in public, catching everybody's eye. With her brand new Orbis stroller and her probiotic smoothie. I hope who's checking prices on that tasty vegan sushi. With that Adbusters mag and her artisan toast. She's always shopping local and avoiding GMOs. Scoping out the Lululemon if it lying on her phone. Using Amazon Mom, cause she's always on the go. Watching girls on HBO really takes her back. To the Bushwick parties and the vinyl stacks. She misses Cafe Grumpy and Brooklyn Label. But when she's back in Franklin, she can never get a table. She remembers Luna Lounge where she passed out flyers for an underground band named Arcade Fire. Before Lena Dunham was successful and paid, Hipster Girl was on the L trying to find her way.
Well, Hipster Girl grew up and got her MFA. Married with the mortgage and an IRA. Hybrid minivan up in the carpool lane. But Hipster Mom is doing okay.
This may seem like a stupid question, but is breast milk vegan? Can I call you back in a bit? I have to Skype my lactation consultant.
She looks so good when she shops organic, cause she cares about her baby and the future of our planet. But life has gotten hectic now that she's become a mom. Though the charter school waiting list isn't all that long, and the Mandarin immersion that they offer every morning combines a bit of Waldorf and a bit of Montessori. And the rooftop playground has an urban petting zoo with recycled wood chips and a Manhattan view. Cause her Greenpoint sublet had to go. Bedford got too crowded and she'd seen enough shows. So she married a designer and moved to Park Slope. Found a nice brownstone and they took out a loan. And her Etsy store has been doing great since Ellen Page Instagrammed her diaper bouquets. Before the Starbucks down on Union sold soy lattes, there was Hipster Girl trying to find her way.
Well, Hipster Girl grew up and got her MFA. Married with the mortgage and an IRA. Hybrid minivan up in the carpool lane. But Hipster Mom is doing okay. Well, Hipster Girl grew up and now she makes it rain. Amber teething necklace that she bought fair trade. Vegan chocolate cake for baby's first birthday. And Hipster Mom is doing okay.
Did you hear? Jessica had an elective epidural. It's like she doesn't even care about the health of her newborn. How basic.
No more TV on the radio, it's NPR, where she heard the interview in her husband's car with her ex-fiancé who had gone EDM. But ever since her wedding, it was hard to stay friends. And his co-ed hoodie with the dragonfly, she kept it in her closet as the years went by. Who's cried a night about? Asked Terry Gross.
A girl I knew in Brooklyn, we were once very close.
Well, hip soup girl grew up and got her MFA. Married with the mortgage and an IRA. Hybrid minivan up in the carpool lane. But hipster mom is doing okay. Well, hipster girl grew up and now her world has changed. The vintage layer onesie has begun to fade. Still on the second page of 50 Shades of Grey. But hipster mom is doing okay.
Are you kidding? Of course I'm not going to let her wear pink. Did you see the Huffington Post article on Facebook this morning? Gender roles are so passé. That's why I'm siding with Blossom on the whole Frozen controversy. Have you seen Blackfish? It is so sad. There is no way we are ever going to have a birthday party at SeaWorld, ever. Do you think the gold iPhone 6 clashes with her indigo aura?